Welcome to the Whale Scout Podcast. This is Whitney Niggebauer. We are doing things a little bit differently today. This podcast is a tribute to J2, or Granny, who recently passed away. And I wanted to do something to commemorate her amazing life. And so I thought that we would get some naturalists together to read their stories and favorite memories of Granny. Granny was a whale that lived a very long life. It is estimated that it was over 100 years old. And what's so amazing about her is that she's lived through times where people considered killer whales to be pests, shot at them, and she was likely captured and then let go while other whales were taken for captivity. And she's been seen by thousands and thousands of people, whale watchers from shore and on boats. And she was the oldest killer whale in all of the southern resident whales. In fact, she's probably the oldest known killer whale that we know of. She was the matriarch of all the pods that we have. And she was often seen swimming out in front of the rest of J-Pod, and she was the one that carried all the knowledge. She knew where all the fish were, and she knew where to go, and she called all the shots. So a lot of people just loved Granny because she was sort of this icon and symbol for all of the southern residents. So I won't go too much into to Granny. I will let our naturalist go ahead and talk about her life. Ariel.
Dear Granny, I guess I don't quite know what to say. We all knew this day would come when we finally had to bid you farewell. We just never imagined it would be amongst an endless sea of tragedies and heartbreak in our integrated human orca family. At least with every death, we still had your love, your strength, and your courage to lean on. I know that most people will not be able to understand this, but you were still a person, albeit not a human one, and your loss runs as deep as if we lost a family member. You invited us in. You invited us into your joy. You invited us into your heartbreak. You invited us into your life. I'll never forget the first time that I saw you because it changed my life forever. I was only 2 years old. My parents took me to see a movie called Free Willy. And in those first 5 minutes of what would quickly become my favorite movie, you graced the screen alongside Ruffles and Samish in a montage that captivated my heart. I've since loved you for 24 years. I'll always be grateful for the 3 short summers I got to spend with you. I learned a lot about the world in that short time, much of it motivated by my love for you and your family. You taught me a lot about love because you lived it in the truest way. You were patient and kind. You were neither envious nor boastful nor proud. You were honorable, giving, and forgiving. You rejoiced in righteousness. You always protected, always trusted, always hoped, and you always persevered. You demonstrated that love never fails. I guess this hurts me more so on behalf of your great-granddaughter, Heishka. She lost her mother not long ago, and now she's tasked with raising her siblings and carrying on your legacy while she's only a child herself. But I promise you, my dear Granny, that I will do everything in my power to make sure that she succeeds and that you will not be forgotten, because our love runs true and deep. Love always perseveres. Thank you for inviting me in. I will always love you, Granny.
Riley.
I have this one distinct memory of her. It was this past July, and we were just watching like the whole of J and L pod, or like all of J pod and parts of L pod coming from the north, and they're coming south past the White House, and Granny was in the lead, obviously. And so we were like looking, and she had a little calf with her, and we couldn't identify the calf at the time, but it was just interesting to see her kind of playing that mother role as well as like a leadership role. So that was just really special, just to see that she was like very caring towards other members of her pod, even if they weren't her own calves, as a grandmother should be. And yeah, I learned about her like years ago, back in 2014, 2013 even, I think, when I first started getting interested in the Southern residents. And she was one of the first whales that I actually learned about, and I was just shocked to know, to learn that they could live so long. And just to be able to go up to Washington and finally see her for the first time in 2014 was something so incredible. I had never seen killer whales before, and she and the J16s were one of the first families that I came across. And there's just something about them, like when you're in their presence, it's just, it's this almost like indescribable feeling to be with something that you know is just as equally as intelligent as you, in a different way. And just to see them with their own families doing their own things, it's just, it's incredible. And Granny was a complete representative of that. And her passing, I feel like, was a really, because it made news, it made like BBC, it made National Geographic. So it really showed that like her legacy was passed on through more than just like she was a killer whale out in Washington. It was, she was a leader, and she represented like so much for the Southern residents and for her species as a whole. She like proved SeaWorld wrong, that killer whales could live only 30 to 50 years. And she far exceeded that, which I think is amazing. Oh, I think she obviously would impart so much wisdom onto past generations. Like you said, she did live through the captures. And so she could tell like the horrors of that, and like what a like trying time it was for whales, like whale and human relationships up there. Because even Ken Balcom with the Center for Whale Research, he said when they first began the study, like the whales were very unapproachable. They wouldn't come near the boats for a long time because the memories of those captures were still in their minds. So you can just imagine like how long it took for her and her family who survived through those captures to come to trust people again and to trust being around those boats, because that must have been so traumatic just to have your babies and your grandchildren just ripped from you. So I think Granny could tell loads of stories from that, as well as the bad salmon years she's lived through too. She's had to figure out different hunting routes and travel paths to get to different salmon areas. So she would know best how to get to those areas, and so she could impart that wisdom on past generations as well. I think if I'm remembering this correctly, I could be wrong, but when the eldest K-pod females died, K-pod started traveling in a different travel pattern too. So I believe that with Granny gone, hopefully the paths that she took are memorized by some of the younger generations now, like J37, J40, they traveled most often with her, so maybe they could take up the lead and kind of help J-pod carry on through those paths that they've memorized for and taken for years and years now. So hopefully those younger females will be able to carry on. L87, I feel like I really worry about him, because I've heard he's been traveling with other members of J-pod still, but with Granny gone, she was kind of his mother, and he's already lost like 2-3 surrogate mothers now. So it's been really hard. I feel like it's been hard on him, and I just hope that he continues on as well. In Granny's like main clan, the J2s, J14s, Samish is gone, and she left behind 2 daughters and a son and a grandson who are going to have to fend for themselves now too. J45 wasn't even 10 years old yet, so he lost a main part of his life. And with Samish and Granny gone, the eldest females, they'll have to carry on in their own. They're going to have to, I guess, a new matriarch will have to come forward. I don't know who that will be. But I think them as a close-knit family, they can figure it out. They're whales. They've done this before, and, you know, past members have died before, so they've gone through this. But Granny being as old as she was, I think it'll be definitely a major blow. I am actually working on like a little art piece for Granny right now, which I hope it'll be finished soon. But yeah, I just want to just say that Granny represented more than just being a killer whale. She was a representative for our species as well, and how we can lead with grace and how we can be good family members and good leaders. And she did something for our community as a whole, as well as like with whale watchers and her admirers, as well as her family itself. So goodbye, Granny. I remember being a Bob's intern. He would show videos of Granny to the class, and he would say, yeah, she was in the Free Willy film. So like that was another way to connect to kids too, who came to learn about these whales. Now they know who Granny was, and they could say like, oh, that's her. Like I could recognize her with her notched dorsal fin. And she was in Free Willy movies that I watched as a little kid. So she could connect with people even through that way too, even like completely indirectly.
Stephanie, I remember seeing Granny consciously for the first time on the second pass-by I experienced as an intern for Dr. Bob at Lime Kiln. My first pass-by had happened in such a blur of excitement that I wasn't even able to focus on what I was seeing, never mind collect data properly. I was so excited that I even told Bob that it had been so exciting and that I hadn't even been able to focus on the paddle patch. So excited that I couldn't even get the words out. I saw her on my second pass-by, and for the next two summers, she was a constant. I actually found myself looking for her during every pass-by. I would listen to people on shore eagerly ask me if Granny was there and loved being able to confirm that she was, when she was. They had even heard of her, her legacy, and wanted to see her. This matriarch had captured the imagination of so many, and it was a privilege to be able to help people spot her from the shore. My favorite memory is of an incredible pass-by during my first year. It was one of those pass-bys that just takes your breath away. The whales were coming from the north. I was down on the lower rocks and still remember being totally awestruck by the power and speed at which the whales were passing by the lighthouse. And as the first whales came in line with the lighthouse and I started to collect my data, there she was in amongst the first whales. No sign of age, just sheer grace, power, and beauty. When I reflect upon her life, I can only imagine the things she must have seen and witnessed. So many years, so many changes in her environment. I can only hope she was able to pass on some of her acquired knowledge onto her family, that they have learned from her. Her legacy will live on through her pod. She was an icon and will live on as an icon, and I hope for her sake and for her remaining family that we can live up to her incredible legacy. That like her, we persevere and fight for her pod. Monica.
Rest in peace, Granny. It is fitting that you disappeared as mysteriously as you lived, a whale we will never fully know or understand. You're the first orca I ever saw swim through the kelp at Lime Kiln, the fearless leader, often miles ahead of everyone else, the whale I have tattooed on my arm. Your knowledge will, I'm sure, live on through your descendants, and your memory will surely live on in us all forever. It was an honor to know you.
Mark.
I'm working on a documentary called The 100-Year-Old Whale, so I've interviewed Cam Balcom talking about Granny and various other orca experts from the West Coast, and so I've been sort of following Granny's story for the last, I guess, year and a half. Was when this sort of set out. And for me, the most amazing thing was getting to meet Granny while we were filming. So that was pretty special. Well, it was the most incredible thing because one of the questions I started asking, I've been working on the book about Moby Doll, but also a documentary about Moby Doll. And while I was reading about Moby Doll, I came across Granny's story, and I called my producer and I said, I've got our next movie. He went, we haven't funded this one yet. What? I don't care. We've got to do something about Granny. And there was a call in Canada for short documentaries. And so I pitched doing a short, short film about the world's oldest whale. And the most amazing thing happened. I had an intern helping me out with research, and she hooked me up with Eagle Wing charters out of Victoria. And they thought that a film about Granny was fantastic and offered to take us out. So I finally was talking to Brett Sober. We played telephone tag for months. Just months. We finally get a hold of each other. And he said, you know what? We really haven't seen her. This is two summers ago. We really haven't seen her much lately. You know, don't know how much luck you'll have, but, you know, we're game to take you out anytime, you know, get some good orca photos for your movie, get some good orca footage. About half an hour later, Brett's back on the phone going, how fast can you get to my boat? What? How fast can you get to my boat? We've just spotted her. She's at a race rocks. So my partner and I raced out to the dock, and I thought he was racing us out there so we could get out of charter. He's like, no, this is important. You've got to meet Granny. You know, who knows, when this will happen again. And so he took us out, just the two of us and a photographer who just stepped off the other boat. And we raced at full speed to meet this other boat out at Race Rocks. And the best way to describe what happened next is to tell you the response of the other, of the people who were on his other whale watch boat, because we were on a whale watch boat with just the three of us, or the four of us. And they got back and they were asked, you know, how was your trip? And they said, well, it was fine. And then the photographer showed up, and then it was amazing. And what happened was we showed up, and it was twilight. It was magic hour. It's the hour, I mean, I do nonfiction films as well, or fictional films as well. And filmmakers kill to shoot things at twilight. You know, you do everything possible to do things at twilight. So we show up at twilight, and the moment we arrive, Granny starts tail-sopping for us in front of the camera. And we're going, oh, my God, this is amazing. And you can hear in the background as we're taking the shots, Brett, who runs the boat, and the photographer, Clint River, is going, oh, my God, it's Granny. And so Granny's tail-sopping for us. That's pretty cool. And then a few moments later, Granny spy-hops right in front of the camera. And at this point, I've just... like, I'm blown away. We've got Granny on film. This is perfect. And right behind the boat, there is most of J-Pod in perfect, stunning orange sunlight. And we know that Granny's off to the side. And Rain, who's shooting for us, is going, can I please look, at, you know, can I please take some footage of the whales down the boat? And I said, you know what? I don't care if those whales start hooling. I said, just keep your camera focused over there where Granny is. And the moment later, she pulls off a perfect breach right in front of her camera. And then she follows it with a second breach. We're like, okay, apparently she wants to be a movie star. It was just the most stunning thing, just the most stunning night. Granny would have been certainly one of the matriarchs of the pod when Moby was captured. So it's very possible Granny was the whale that saved Moby's life. Possible even that Granny was the whale that followed Moby into the harbor. So the connections are amazing. But also, I mean, you look at the legacy here, and if you look at the news day, Granny's, I'm still going with disappearance. I'm still hoping she's gone off for some me time. But Granny's, you know, presumed death has made newspapers around the world, just like Moby Doll's death did. I mean, there are stories, and the BBC is covering this, and I think that tells you how much passion there is for these orcas. I always made this knowing that at some point it would be a memorial. I was hoping it wouldn't be a memorial this soon, but I knew that it's, and I thought there are two different kinds of ways of saying goodbye, and one's a memorial and the other's a celebration of life. And I really think Granny's is a life to be celebrated. We lost a lot of younger members of J-Pod and neonates this year. And that's a tragedy. A 105-year-old orca is something to celebrate. So, I mean, I'm really hoping her legacy is to remind people these orcas are out there, to inspire people to do what we can to save them, whether that's fighting the Kinder Morgan Dam, fighting the Kinder Morgan pipeline in Canada, or trying to get rid of Snake River Dam on your side of the border. I think Granny should be celebrated, and I think the way to honor her is to do what we can to protect the amazing Southern residents.
Sarah, I have heard many people use many words to describe Granny. Awesome, impressive, epic. I have thought the same things about her, those and more. At the end of a year filled with unnecessary loss, we bid farewell to a life long in the making and whose memory will be even longer in the retelling. She was a leader, a mother, in every sense of the word, to generations of her kin. She was a teacher, a companion, an icon. This day was inevitable, though that does not help dull the pain of her passing. For years, I would watch for Granny every spring, and the sigh of relief that accompanied that first sighting of her was always welcome. As the years passed, for no other reason than out of time and habit, I began purposely searching out that familiar notched dorsal fin every time I was in the company of J-Pod. I would think myself silly when I saw her, as present as she always was, but I would be grateful she was still with us all the same. This fall was my last encounter with her, though I wouldn't know it at the time. It was sunset. The wind was picking up, but it was still warm as the last bits of a long summer had not yet chased away by a swiftly arriving fall. I was at Limekiln with some of those people who are dearest to me when the whales arrived from the north. The waves seemed to excite the whales as they breached, cartwheeled, and tail-slapped their way down island. Suddenly, Granny was there, right in front of us, closer to shore than many in the company of her youngest great-granddaughter, Suttles. The two surfaced once, twice, a third time, and then disappeared to the south, gone as quickly as they had come. I sometimes wonder what I would have said or done had I known that was the last time I would see her. Would I have changed anything? Every moment spent in her presence was one in which she taught me something new. Over the years I learned, and I suspect many others did too, a variety of lessons from her, both great and small. She taught us patience. She showed us how to lead by example, how to listen to each other, to the world around us, and to our own hearts. She taught us how to throw ourselves skyward for the sheer joy of it every once in a while, for the heck of it, just because we can. Even in her death, Granny leads by example. This is how it should be done, she tells us, even now. This is when we should be parting ways, at the end of a long life. The tears in our eyes and on our cheeks are for the loss of a whale, a beloved friend, who has led a life whose length alone is worthy of remembrance and celebration. The times ahead are ones I cannot predict, for I do not have the gift of foresight. But whatever they bring, be it triumph, tragedy, or something in the middle, may we face them in the same tenacity and dignity as Granny. She lives on in the whales that still remain, in the calves that have yet to join us. She lives on in our hearts, and more importantly, in our deeds. She is epic and awesome and impressive, and she will always be. I'd like to thank all of the naturalists for participating in this podcast and all of you for listening.